Can we turn to Luke? Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 30. Luke chapter 10, verse 30 to 35. And Jesus answered, saying, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on one side, or on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan came, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee." And then can we turn to Revelations? Revelations chapter 3, verse 20. Revelations chapter 3, verse 20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. Behold, I stand at the door and knock." I don't know why, but for the past couple of days or couple of weeks, I've been thinking about the Good Samaritan, and it just popped in my head, and I always wondered why the title, or in my Bible, there's titles before every section, and it says a parable of the Good Samaritan, and I always wondered why is it the parable of the Good Samaritan? Why not the parable of the wounded man, or parable of the saved man? Why isn't the man just as important as the Samaritan? And I was just really curious, is this a story about the Good Samaritan, or is this a story about this man, the certain man? Just to rephrase the portion that we read, is the man started from Jerusalem. He was headed to Jericho. Along the way, some thieves pretty much beat him up, stole his stuff, and left him half dead. And a good Samaritan came, saw him, treated him, carried him to an inn or a room, and left or stayed with him overnight, and paid his debt, and whatever he had remaining, the Samaritan would come back and fulfill it. When I was reading the story, I wondered, trying to put myself in the position of the thief, or position of the man going to Jericho, and I wondered, you know, what was it about that man that the thieves were attracted to, and were there other people on that same road to Jericho, and why was he attacked? Why was this certain man attacked on his way to Jericho? And I wondered, did this man have fine clothing on? Did he have gold jewelry around his neck, or rings of precious stones? Obviously, he had something. This man had something that the thieves were attracted to. And whatever it was, the thieves wanted it. They saw this man, and whatever he had, they wanted. So they attacked him, and they took everything from him. This man, on his way to Jericho, had nothing left when the thieves were done with him. we as human beings and as sinners also, we too are on a path. Our starting point is birth when we come to this world, and our destination is for our flesh, for our bodies is death, is eventually the ground. For our spirit, there's only two destinations, and it's heaven or hell. And we're on this road to our final destination. And on this road, did you know that there is a thief watching us? On this road, there is a thief kind of creeping or stalking us, and he's looking for a perfect time to attack us. Not all of us might be millionaires. Not all of us have nice things that could be taken away from us, but there is something that this thief is attracted to from us. And this thief is Satan, and he's not interested in our money. He's not interested in the things that we have or things that we could provide. The only thing he has interest in is our sin. And he knows we have it. And he knows that we were born with it. And on this road that we're on, Satan is watching us, and he wants that sin from us. He wants it because he could control us through it. And the minute that you don't expect it, that's when he'll attack you. That certain man, he didn't know when he was going to attack, when he was going to be attacked. It could have been 5 minutes into his journey. He could have almost been to Jericho, and he could have been attacked. We don't know. And same thing with Satan. When he attacks us, we don't know when it's going to happen. But when he does, he too will take everything from you. He'll take everything that you have and leave you naked and ashamed, just like he did to Adam and Eve. And they were ashamed to see God when God cried out to them. That man, he was left for dead. He was left half dead. When you're dying, in the process of dying, that last couple minutes or whatever, you don't cry out for help. No one really cries out for help when they know they're dying. Sometimes they don't have the capability to know that I'm going to die soon. So this man, we know that being half dead, he wasn't crying out for help. The story doesn't say when he saw that priest, he cried out for help. When he saw that Levite, he cried out for help. When he saw that Good Samaritan, he didn't cry out for help. That man just laid there dying. He was there. And for us, on this road to our destination, whether it be heaven or hell, when we are attacked or when we are left for dead, we won't be crying for help. We never asked Christ to come down for us. We never asked God to even send his only begotten son for us. We didn't know we were dying. We were just living. We didn't ask to be saved. And we walk on this world blindly in this darkness. And the person we least expected came just in the nick of time to save us from our sins. Going back to that story, Samaritan was an outcast. No one wanted anything to do with the Samaritans. They had to go fetch the water, not in the morning, but during midday because they were outcast. And likewise, the Good Samaritan who helped this man, we would have never expected him to help him. And as I was reading this, why was the Samaritan on that road? Was he even going to Jericho? Was it like you know, Highway 6 or Highway 15, where you could exit at the 60, 10, or 215, and the Good Samaritan happened to be on the same road? We don't know. But the thing that we know is that the people who we expected to help didn't help, and it was a Samaritan who decided to help. In this world, there are a lot of religious figures. There's a lot of philanthropists, worldly people who claim that they'll help you, claim that they would save you from your troubles and whatnot. But no one expected Jesus Christ to save us. He was a man least likely that we wanted. When he came to this world, people hated Jesus Christ. He was too perfect. He was this man who spoke of salvation and how he came to die for seek and to die for those who are lost, and people didn't expect anything like that. So they crucified him. The Jewish people literally wanted him off this face of the earth. Like, they didn't want anything to do with him. He was hated, and he was he had to die. But he came to seek us. We didn't cry out to him. He saw us on that road, and you know, blinded, and he saw us, and he didn't go on the other side. He came and saved us. Recently, when I went to the Arlington the conference in Arlington, and what resonated with me was when Christ was on that cross and he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Our Lord Jesus Christ didn't get an answer. He just hung there. He said it once, it's not like he said it twice, but when he asked, there was no answer. We're not even asking Christ to save us. We're not even asking to be saved. But Christ answered our cries before we even asked. He sent his only begotten Son because he knew that we are left for dead. And we only have two places to go. And he wanted to give us a choice. We are his creation, and he wanted us to choose between heaven or hell. An almighty God, an omnipotent God, gave us humans a choice. Where do you want to go for everlasting life? It's just, he could have chose for us. He could have said, everyone just go to hell, or everyone go to heaven. But he gave us a choice. We have to think about what Christ did for us and how undeserving we are. Kind of wonder what that man was thinking about on his way to Jericho. Was he thinking, man, when I get to Jericho, I'm going to do this, you know, along the way to Jericho, I'm going to stop by this, you know, rest stop, where I'm going to see this thing. You kind of wonder. And what I like about Southern California, even though there's traffic, you really have time to think for yourself. You could sit there for hours and just think. And I do a lot of thinking, and I wonder, man, what is it about me that Christ loves so much? Getting to medical school for myself, it was very difficult. I didn't have the stats like everyone else did.
those 4.0s and perfect standardized test scores. And even getting to residency program, my choice, it was, you ask anyone else, it was unlikely. They would told me, you know, just don't even think about that, don't even dream, because your dreams will be crushed. And yet, they saw something in me to choose me and accept me. I didn't have the best scores, but they still chose me. What is it that we have that God chooses us? What can we offer God that He was willing to send His Son to die for us on that cross? Truly ask yourself tonight, am I worthy for Christ to die for me on that cross? Should He have died for me when I have nothing to offer to Him? Truly think about the pain He had to bear. It's unimaginable to think a nail piercing through your hands and your feet. There's people who've done it. I mean, there's traumatic events that they come to the hospital to get treated, and pretty sure those are more painful, if anything. But think about the reason why Christ lay there on that cross as those nails pierced through His hands and His feet. Think about the reason why He allowed people to put that crown of thorns upon His head and blindfold Him and beat Him and ask, "Who's hitting you?" Why did He do all that? And what makes you so worthy that He didn't come down from that cross? We all go through our struggles in life and everything, sometimes good, sometimes bad. But can you imagine for a second when Christ is hanging there, just in desperation, and it might have been because of pain, who knows why, but when He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And He had no answer. I think that's when He truly knew, I am alone on this cross. I have nobody with me on this cross. And we ask God, why is this happening to us? Why is that happening to me? If Jesus Christ didn't receive an answer, why should we expect an answer from Him also? Jesus Christ was His Son, His only Son, perfect. So perfect that He had to tell the people around Him during a baptism, "This is my Son, who I am well pleased." I don't have a son myself, but I know parents brag about their children all the time. "This is my son. This is my daughter. They do this. They do that. I'm so proud of him or her." God proudly stated, "This is my son." And He wouldn't answer one question. Why hast thou forsaken me? We might have 80 years to live. We're going to ask a bunch of whys to God. More than we could count. And we still expect an answer when Jesus Christ didn't get an answer for that one question. You know, when those thieves attack that man, or when bad things happen to us, it's not God punishing us. God is a God of love. We learn that God is love. Just because you lied one time, God's not punishing us for lying once. Those bad things that's happening to us, He's not punishing us. That's Satan, the thief, robbing you. That's Satan picking on you. That's the devil trying to draw you away from God. Hey, blame God. God's doing this to you. God's doing that to you. And that's what Satan is attracted to, is our sinful hearts. And it'll leave you helpless. He'll leave you so far away from God that you won't even be able to search for God. At one point, you would despise him, just like the Jews did. And yet the person that you didn't expect came down to save you. God gave us two choices when sin entered into this world. He said you could go to heaven or you could go to hell. No way we could ever go into heaven, not by ourselves. Absolutely no way. With sin in our hearts, God will never accept us into his kingdom. So he decided to send his son for us, and his son would die for us on that cross. He completed that work of redemption so that he could go to heaven. You know, that Samaritan spent that night with that man in that room, just watching over him, make sure he was getting better, you know. Very intimate time. There are times when I work the night shift, and sometimes I can't fall asleep, so I make my rounds just to see if everything's going okay, ask the nurses if you need anything else, do you need any orders to put in. Sometimes I just stare at the patients in the ICU, not knowing whether they'll survive or whether they'll die tonight, tomorrow, maybe the next day. I just stand there and stare at them. And I'm pretty sure that's what the Samaritan did. He sat there watching the man, hoping that he will survive. Very intimate time. And every Lord's Day, every Sunday, from 9:30 to 10:30, we have this intimate time with Christ. When we know, for where two or three are gathered in his name, he is in the midst of us, and we could talk to him. We talk to him every day, but knowing that, man, he's here with us. In his presence, all of us here together, it's an intimate time. And no one else would understand it. On Highway 15, coming down, southbound, a bunch of soccer tournaments going on. There's a lot of people there. They're not at church. They don't have the intimate time with Christ. And you almost feel sorry for them. But man, that escapes my mind. I just look forward to the time that I come here. I can see Christ, be near Christ, be in his presence, and truly just have intimate time with him. When the time comes, we'll have intimate time with him forever, in eternity. And when the time comes, which path will you have chosen? Heaven or hell? Kind of in the midpoint, there's older people and there's younger people, but there are many times when I ask myself, I wish I didn't do that, or man, I'm really glad I did that. On this road that we're on, there are times when we're going to regret stuff. There's going to be times where we're really proud of something. Will there be a time when you ask yourself,
I really regret going to church. I wish I slept more. I wish I watched football. I wish I'd done this. I wish I'd done that instead of going to church. Or are you going to be proud? Went to church today, spent time with Christ, worshiped him, thanked him for what he has done for me, because I know that I wasn't worthy. If you don't get saved, there'll be one regret for rest of eternity. Forever. Those regrets I had at 6 years old, I don't even remember them. At 10 years old, 20, they're gone. No more tomorrow, or no more yesterday. Today and tomorrow is what I look forward to. But if you don't come saved, for your everlasting life, you'll regret that one time I heard about Jesus Christ and how he died for me. I should have accepted it. I should have listened. I should have known that I am unworthy sinner who never go to heaven, and Jesus Christ is the only way for me. I should have came to realize that Christ died for me while I was a sinner. Do you want to have that regret for the rest of your life or rest of eternity? Forever. The word forever we kind of use very loosely, but just think about forever. And I mean, Jesus Christ only suffered for so long on that cross at Mount Calvary. Even till that point, he only suffered for so long. If you don't come to accept our Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you'll be suffering for eternity. And you'll regret for eternity. The Samaritan said that I pay his debt now, and on my way back I'll repay whatever else I need to repay. The Samaritan wasn't going to come back. He looked after the man and paid for all his debts at that time, and he was going to come back to repay the rest. Christ is coming back, but he's not coming back to repay a debt. The debt's been paid. Full judgment, punishment on our Lord Jesus Christ was done. Christ cried out, "It is finished," on that cross. It was done. It was over. Nothing else. The only reason Christ is coming back is for us. Christ came the first time to die for us. Second time, he's coming back to live with us for eternity. He'll take us with him and we'll live on forever. You know, there's people in this world who are still waiting for something. They're waiting for the first coming of the Messiah. There are people striving to reach enlightenment. They meditate for how many ever hours, do good works for so long to get to the pinnacle of enlightenment. Very foolish, if you ask me. What's there at enlightenment? And after that, what's left? See, for us, when Christ comes back for us and we're all in heaven, it's everlasting song, and just the happiness is, and the joy is nonstop. There's no end point. It's giving thanks to Christ for what he has done for us. And when that time comes, you could either be left in hell regretting, or you could be in the presence of God in heaven. So make that decision.
Make it soon. Because there's a million ways you could die. Literally a million ways you could die. When a patient comes in for a symptom, we go through a little list of what, why something's causing what. And there's a million ways this weak body could die. There's only two places our souls could end up. Remember that. Only two places. Work is done. The choice is yours. But you have to make it before your journey ends. Because one way or another, you're going to end up in those two places. Shall we pray? Father, we give you thanks once again for thy Son. Father, we give you thanks that Christ would die for us while we're yet sinners. He would love us beyond measure. How easily he could have restarted, he could have forsaken us, he could have destroyed us and left us. So many possibilities where we never see Christ. We would never be in his presence. We would never be given this opportunity to go into heaven. And yet Christ will love us unto his death. Father, we thank thee that he cried out, "It is finished." He completed the work of redemption. And those who have come to accept our Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, knowing that they're unworthy, but to be humble to accept him. That when the time comes, that we'll be with thee in paradise. So, Father, we give thee thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.